Is there anybody here for the state? Well, Barry, it looks like you're the whole show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. This is a case with a single issue, the sole issue being the legality or illegality of an oral statement given by an accused person in a criminal offense. Going back, just factually, September of 2005, a man had walked into the Medical Center of Arlington Hospital, where he had apparently had some injuries. There were apparent injuries. He was then treated by hospital staff. An officer who was there, an Arlington police officer who was there on unrelated business, happened to see this gentleman and approached him. He was in a room being treated by medical staff for his injuries, and approached him and began to ask him some questions. It was later discovered that this person may or may not have been involved in a robbery that had taken place earlier. Now, again, the sole issue in this case is the legality or illegality of the oral statement given by Mr. Newsom, the appellant, to the officer in this case. And I want to break this down into basically two sub-issues. And the first sub-issue is whether the officer in this case, who interrogated Mr. Newsom, should have given him Miranda warnings. Miranda warnings in this case were not administered to Mr. Newsom. The officer just was interrogating him without Mirandizing him.
Doesn't it really come down to the issue of custody and whether or not the appellant was in custody?
That is true, Your Honor, but custody in this case does not necessarily mean confined within a jail, or custody does not necessarily mean that the person is in cuffs and is being taken to jail. This case, the appellant was being treated for severe injuries. He couldn't have left the hospital. He was being treated there. And a lot of times, officers, if a person is a suspect in a case, if they are at the hospital, they're not going to leave the hospital until the doctors give them permission to leave, until they have been cleared medically to leave by the doctor. So just because he is in the hospital and he's not in custody in the jail doesn't mean he is not in custody for purposes of our argument. So my argument is that, yes,
he
is.
The circumstances leading to custody aren't circumstances whose genesis is the policeman.
Correct. My argument is that He is considered in custody, and I'm going to get into that when we get into the officer. In fact, I'll go ahead and address that issue now. The officer later learned he had contacted another officer who had found out that there was a possible robbery that had taken place earlier, and the person who they believe was a suspect in that case fit the description of Mr. Newsom. So at that point, we consider Mr. Newsom to be in custody. He is a suspect in the case. He's not free to leave. In fact, custodial interrogation, there is a definition given. It's in Morris v. State, 897 Southwest 2nd, 528. It is a court out of Texas Court of Appeals in El Paso, 1995. They define custodial interrogation as that the suspect must have been, in quotes, in custody, and the police must have interrogated the suspect either by express questioning or its functional equivalent. But again, in custody is not so narrowly defined as someone who is in the jail. This person can be a number of places, including the hospital. Again, if he's not cleared to leave the hospital by the persons who are treating him at the hospital, he could still be considered in custody. So this could still be considered a custodial interrogation, even though he is not at the Arlington jail.
Or all these other cases, I think, generally talk about not at the jail, certainly, but circumstances surrounding police action. You're in the squad car sit in that chair in this house and don't leave until I tell you it's okay to do so.
Correct.
Not, it has nothing to do with this.
But Your Honor, I think logic would dictate that if a person is undergoing medical care, that person can't leave. That person's not free to just get up and leave until there is a medical doctor or medical staff who says, I have treated this person. This person is now, he is able to, according to my professional opinion, he's able to leave, or he's able to go out on his own if he were free to leave. So,
but aren't you kind of mixing apples and oranges? Because he really is free to leave. He's just not capable of leaving, and he doesn't have the doctor's permission. But the police officer is not the person keeping him there.
But, like I said, Your Honor, the officer then later found out that he matched the description of the person who could have possibly been involved in this offense earlier. So at that point, he's not free to leave. If he is a suspect and a possible criminal offense, and once he's cleared to leave by the medical staff, then the police officer can intervene. Then the police officer can say, okay.
Did he take, once he became a suspect, to ensure his custody? I mean, you just said once he became a suspect, then he couldn't leave. Well, what steps did the officer take to ensure that? Or what did he articulate to the person about that?
Well, as we're later going to find out, in fact, I'll go ahead and address that now too, Your Honor. The officer really didn't have to do anything, because he was never at any point free to leave. Once he was finished at Arlington, he was going to be care flighted to John Peter Smith. He was never free to leave, even according to the medical doctors. So once he finished, once the doctors at Arlington Hospital treated him, he was going to be care flighted. In fact, he had the oxygen mask on. He was undergoing multiple treatments, and then they were going to care flight him from Arlington to John Peter Smith. So at no point was he free to leave.
What difference does it make when he did not become a suspect?
Because once the officer found out he became a suspect, at that point he should have Mirandized him. That's the whole issue. He was never free to leave, okay? I think it's clear that once he finished treatment at...
He was never able to leave, as Judge Walker...
He never able to leave, because he was never cleared medically to leave. So the officer really didn't have to do anything on his own, because as soon as he was finished at Arlington, he was being transported to John Peter Smith. Okay?
But before he could take him to the jail, he had to get a warrant, didn't he?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Before he could take him to the jail, he had to get a warrant.
That is correct, Your Honor. But
at what point did he get the warrant?
That was at a later point after he was, after he made it to the jail, or after he made it to John Peter Smith, I believe. But I think it still goes to my point that he was not free to leave. He was not free to leave, and therefore he is still considered, it still could be considered a custodial interrogation. And if he's going to be treated there at Arlington, he's got the breathing mask on. The doctors are working on him, and from that point, he's transferred from the custody of the doctors at Arlington to the doctors at the John Peter Smith Hospital in Fort Worth. There is a continuous...
So you're not saying that the statement was coerced?
No, I'm not, but that's the second point I want to get to quickly before my time is up, if I may, Your Honor. The second point is whether the statement was voluntary, in the fact that, and I will... So I'll make sure I get this correctly. He was constantly in the custody of. He had been shot in the neck. He was bleeding. He had the breathing mask on. He was undergoing treatments for these injuries that he had sustained. So there's also the issue. If you get past the Miranda issue, there's also the issue of whether or not the statement was itself voluntary. Whether he had the capacity to make the statement. He was under, because of his injuries, he was undergoing, he had sedation, I'm sure, and other medical conditions that could make his statement itself not voluntary. In other words, he didn't have the capacity, the mental or physical capacity, to make a statement because of the procedures that he was undergoing there at Arlington Memorial Hospital. So the first issue is whether it's considered a custodial interrogation, and I believe it is. And if you get past that issue, then the issue becomes whether the statement is involuntary, whether he had the physical and mental capacity to even give a voluntary statement. given the fact that this medical treatment that he was undergoing there at Arlington Memorial Hospital because of his injuries. And when you take those two into and combine them, I believe that it's clear that this is not, this statement was obtained illegally.
And all we're talking about is, I was shot by a white man. That's all we're talking about.
Well, that's where it starts, Your Honor. But then it moves on further. He talks about the place where he was shot, and he goes into more information. He talks about, I was shot, I believe, at a Kroger. He goes into more information. Plus the information that the officer had when he called to find out, were there other shootings? This is what he called. He said, were there other shootings? And he did receive information from another officer saying, yes, there was another shooting, and here's a description. And by the way, it just happens to be the description of Mr. Newsom. So that's when I believe that the conversation should have ceased. At a minimum, he should have been Mirandized at that point. If he matches the description of an earlier shooting, cease the conversation, Mirandize him at the very least. But then if you get past Miranda, then you still have the issue of whether the statement was voluntary given his situation undergoing medical treatment at Arlington.
Well, on page 20, just to follow up briefly, on page 22 of your brief, I read the sentence, a review of the record demonstrates that the statement, I was shot by a white man, improperly admitted by the trial court, was critical, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's all you're complaining about.
Well, that's true, but if you go back earlier, I believe in the brief, it states where he said that the shooting had occurred. I believe he had said it was at a Tom Thumb or a Kroger. I believe it was at a Kroger, he said. Okay. So he gave more information. He did say, yes, I was shot by a white man, but then later, when the officer should have stopped his conversation and Mirandized him, Mr. Newsom also went into more information about where the shooting had occurred and gave him more information. That's when, but before that had taken place, the conversation should have stopped. He should have been Mirandized at the very least.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Your case is submitted. You are released. We'll take a brief recess to make a panel change here.